The All-Native Basketball Tournament races towards the championship games this Saturday, but with it, it drags the story of Josiah Wilson. The 20-year-old point guard was born in Haiti. Adopted as an infant by a Heltsik family, Wilson was banned this year from the tournament because he has no Aboriginal blood. It's not the first time blood has been a subject of debate at the All-Native. Patrick Witwicky spent a decade scribbling and photographing all of the big moments at the All-Native Basketball Tournament. The former sports reporter for the Prince Rupert Daily News joins us live in our Prince Rupert studio. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you here. You have covered many, many years. Have you seen a controversy like this one before?
I would say kind of yes or no. My first couple of years covering the tournament, there were a couple other minor controversies that actually had nothing to do with the actual games on the court. It had to do with other issues, either between, say, the All-Native Tournament Committee and the city or that kind of thing. But this is one of the first ones in a while that has had this much controversy regarding a player and his or her eligibility to play in the tournament.
Now, it seems from our understanding that the blood quantum rule, where you have to be 1/8 Aboriginal to compete in the All-Native, came about as a result of other challenges faced by All-Native, and that is the question of ringers.
Well, back in the day, and we're going back to the 80s and early 90s, it used to be nation teams that came in. So, for example, in the early 90s, there was a Haida Nation team that was winning tournament after tournament. That was like an all-star team from Skidigat, Masset, Heidelberg, that kind of thing. So the tournament felt, to make it a little more competitive, that kind of thing, that they wanted it to be focused on village. So it went from a nation team to a village team. So instead of a Nishka team, now you'd have get Windsilk or Skidigat from Haida or that kind of thing. But at the same time, they allowed teams to still have what was called a pickup player, or the quote-unquote, what we in the media used to refer to it as, a ringer. And teams would go all out to try to find that player, that so-called free agent, that would put them over the top. And there were times where it really worked, and there were times where it just completely backfired. But it got to the point where there were some teams that were bringing in a pickup or a ringer, and nobody knew who this player was. Like, who is he? Where is he from? What's his lineage? Where's his status card? That whole thing. And prior to every tournament, they have a huge they have a GM coaches meeting.
Is it the general managers of the teams?
Yeah, and so everyone gets together, they go over the rules, and then, of course, the challenge is who's playing for who. You know, we don't think that player is legitimate. Obviously, I was never in any of those meetings, and the media never are, and it's probably a good thing. And it gets pretty intense, and so the committee probably works overtime. I would say they work overtime trying to figure out, okay, this player, like, who is he? Who is she? Where are they from? How do we get the information on this?
And why do you think that's important to the committee when they're making these decisions? Why is it important that they know where a player is from or what their status is in terms of Aboriginal heritage?
Well, it's at the end of the day, they just want it to be fair, right? They don't want anyone, per se, I guess, I wouldn't call it cheating, but going outside the boundaries to win the tournament. And I know every team that enters this tournament, like, they want to win. Like, it's a great cultural event, but at the end of the day, they really want to win this tournament. Like, that means so much to their community. And just, it's tough on the committee, and it's tough on the teams too sometimes to figure it out and who's legit.
So that's, you're telling me a story about a team that came up, I think, from Washington State.
Yeah, I heard this story from someone else, that there was a team, because they used to get teams from Washington State and also Alberta back in the 70s and 80s. And there was a couple of years where it wasn't just one player. They weren't sure many players where they were from, or were they legitimately, you know, First Nations, that kind of thing. That eventually also, too, led to them getting rid of nation teams and going to strictly village teams to at least make it more community based.
And you mentioned that the major thrust of All Native is about pride, the pride of winning that victory, of being the champion at the tournament. Does it go beyond that? I mean, in other sports, if there's ringers or people being brought in, it's all about the money. Is that happening at All Native, or is this merely about cultural pride?
There's no money involved. If there is, it might be, as far as I know, just covering that individual's meals. You know, obviously their hotel rooms are covered for that kind of thing. As far as I know, there's no money involved.
Mm-hmm.
Every village has to fundraise like crazy in many cases just to come to the tournament. And in some cases when they have to come to qualifying, so it costs even more. And I don't think money's involved. I think just the pride of winning. Off air, we were talking about when Bella Bella's senior men's team knocked off Heidelberg in 2008 after seven straight years. And the celebrations that took place in Bella Bella following that victory were amazing. Like, it wasn't just one night of, all right, we won. It was weeks of celebrations and feasts and you name it, dedications to each player and that kind of thing. Like, it meant so much to that community. And it basically is a pride thing. Like, every single village that comes to this tournament, they want to win it. Whether it's men's, intermediates, women's, or masters, they want to win.
Given that element, how important the pride is and coming back to the community, do you think that this question about blood quantum, the fact that there are players that are banned because they might not have 1/8 Aboriginal ancestry, do you think that sullies the pride a little, that it sullies the tournament?
It's hard to say. Again, from the committee standpoint, I see why they do it, because what if a team that had a player like that, and I'll just go general here, went on to win the tournament and that player ended up being MVP? You could probably fathom a guess that the team that lost in the final could very well file a protest. There have been protests before at the tournament. Some have been successful. Some have failed for various reasons. I think there was one in the women's division about 6-7 years ago around a player that wasn't allowed to play. So they had to replay the game at midnight. That was in the women's division. I remember that. It was Winsilk and somebody else. So the committee is just basically covering the basis. I know there's been accusations and that kind of thing, but I think at the end of the day, they're trying, and it's really difficult to make everybody happy. And at the end of the day, you can't make everybody happy. It's impossible. But I do feel bad for the individual in question, because I've met him, and he is a...
Josiah Wilson.
Yeah, he is a super nice kid. I know he's 20, but he still seems like a kid to me. And he's super nice. He's soft-spoken, and he does represent that community rather well. I feel bad for him. And what's the solution? I have no idea.
Well, I'm sure that it's something that the All Native Basketball Tournament committee leaders will be grappling with over the coming year. Still a few days left of that tournament. Patrick Witwicky is a former sports reporter with the Prince Rupert Daily News. Lots of years covering that tournament. Patrick, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me on.
And we turn it over to you. What do you think of this story? You can still read about it online. You can find it at cbc.ca/BC. That story as well, Josiah Wilson interviewed last night on our national program, As It Happens.